By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته ما شاء الله عز وجل Welcome back to our program, Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, we're back again. Another beautiful day today, MashaAllah, Azza wa Jal. Jee, SubhanAllah, we've got a guest in our studio today. And Habib bhai, Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
How are you, Habib bhai? You okay?
I'm good, Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, how was your journey?
Good,
Alhamdulillah. InshaAllah, Azza wa Jal, we're going to have a very important topic that we need to be discussing about. And also, as you know, every single day we start off with the recitation of the glorious Quran. And remember, whenever the Quran is being recited, we should listen to the Quran attentively and carefully. But because this is recorded, maybe the same ruling does not apply. But still, if it's the Quran and the name of the program is Rise and Shine, then Alhamdulillah, let's shine our hearts with the beautiful recitation of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon, shaytan-e-mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
واذکروا اذ جعلکم خلفاء من بعد عاد وبوأکم فی الارض تتخذون من سهولها قصورا وتنحتون الجبال بيوتا فاذكروا آلاء الله ولا تعثوا في الارض مفسدين
اور یاد کرو جب تم کو عاد کا جانشین کیا اور ملک میں جگہ دی کہ نرم زمین میں محل بناتے ہو اور پہاڑوں میں مکان تراشتے ہو تو اللہ کی نعمتیں یاد کرو اور زمین میں فساد مچاتے نہ پھرو
قال الملأ الذين استكبروا من قومه للذين استضعفوا لمن آمن منهم أتعلمون أن صالحا مرسل من ربه
اس کی قوم کے تکبر والے کمزور مسلمانوں سے بولے کیا تم جانتے ہو کہ صالح اپنے رب کے رسول ہیں
قالوا إنا بما أرسل به مؤمنون
بولے وہ جو کچھ لے کر بھیجے گئے ہم اس پر ایمان رکھتے ہیں
قال الذين استكبروا إنا بالذي آمنتم به كافرون
متکبر بولے جس پر تم ایمان لائے ہمیں اس سے انکار ہے
فَعَقَرُوا النَّاقَةَ وَعَتَوْا عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِمْ وَقَالُوا يَا صَالِحُ اتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنتَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ
بس ناکہ کی کوچیں یعنی قدم کاٹ دیں اور اپنے رب کے حکم سے سرکشی کی اور بولے اے صالح ہم پر لے آؤ جس کا تم وعدہ دے رہے ہو اگر تم رسول ہو
فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ
تو انہیں زلزلے نے آ لیا تو صبح کو اپنے گھروں میں اوندھے رہ گئے
فَتَوَلَّا عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَقَدْ أَبْلَغْتُكُمْ رِسَالَةَ رَبِّي وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاصِحِينَ
تو صالح نے ان سے منہ پھیرا اور کہا اے میری قوم بے شک میں نے تمہیں اپنے رب کی رسالت پہنچا دی اور تمہارا بھلا چاہا مگر تم خیر خواہوں کے غرضی یعنی پسند کرنے والے ہی نہیں۔
وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ۔
اور لوط کو بھیجا جب اس نے اپنی قوم سے کہا کیا وہ بے حیائی کرتے ہو جو تم سے پہلے جہان میں کسی نے نہ کی۔
انکم لتأتون الرجال شہوة من دون النساء بل انتم قوم مسرفون۔
تم تو مردوں کے پاس شہوت سے جاتے ہو عورتیں چھوڑ کر، بلکہ تم لوگ حد سے گزر گئے۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم۔ الحمدللہ عز و جل، you heard the beautiful recitation of the glorious Quran Surah Al-A'raf. Allah عز و جل talking about قوم عاد and قوم ثمود, especially in these verses of the Quran that I've been listening to the past few days. And you know, these people, they had every luxury of this world, Habibai. You know, Qawm-e Aad and Qawm-e Thamud, they lived in the mountains. Allah Ta'ala gave them every luxury that they had, they wanted in this world. Yet, they still went against the commands of Allah, and these people were destroyed. So here, when we look at ourselves, you know, we're lucky to be the last ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because when we can see what happened to these people of Aad, Samud, Bani Israel, Shu'aib, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, all these people that came before us, we can learn a lesson from them, because we are the last ummah, and the Quran has mentioned in detail, the hadith have mentioned in detail what happened to these people. So let's learn a lesson. Sadly, you know, we do have people doing the same things, you know, the same sins that these people committed, and they were destroyed. Yet the Muslims are doing the same things, but Allah Ta'ala is not punishing these Muslims. For example, there is no stones raining from the sky, mountains are not opening up. Why? Because of the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But remember, that does not mean that we could do whatever we want and no one is there to punish us. Allah Ta'ala is always aware of us. He is giving us that time so we can repent. And the time of repentance, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, is due to his mercy, that at the time of death, if a person does tawbah, Allah will accept his tawbah. But do we know when death will come? So alhamdulillah, azzawajal, by listening to these verses of the Quran, it reminds you, you know, as a Muslim, what we should be doing and what should we, you know, be taking care of. So alhamdulillah, azzawajal, before we go to our main topic today, let's listen to a very beautiful kalam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Aqa, میرے غم
A very beautiful kalam Alhamdulillah, all kalams are beautiful, and the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not just done in the Urdu or the Punjabi language. Alhamdulillah, azawajal, praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is done in many, many languages. Alhamdulillah, wherever you go, people praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will never end. So alhamdulillah, we are lucky that if we can praise him, so try to recite as much durood as possible unto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amir Ahle Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Ulaliyah says at least 313 times. I make the intention, inshallah. You also make the intention, try to recite at least 313 times durood-e-paak. Ji Habib bhai, mashallah, if you can start off with this beautiful topic of charity.
So charity in Islam, something which is a great azim, act of reward, something which is a really immense reward-giving action. And, you know, in the Quran, in the hadith, many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding giving sadaqah, giving charity. In the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith, the words, he's always giving sadaqah, giving charity. So for example, in Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ
MashaAllah.
And translation from Kanzul Iman, it is guidance for the pious ones, those who believe without seeing and keep the obligation prayers established and spend in our path from the sustenance we have bestowed upon them. So the point of reflection in this verse is, and spend in our path. So spending in the path of Allah, this, what does this consist of? Some people think it's only for the masajid, for the madaris. No, spending in the path of Allah is also giving to the poor people, especially relatives. The relatives is the first and foremost that we look towards when giving charity.
I think that's very important, Abhi, but sometimes, you know, when we always think about giving charity, you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't, but you know, like for example, there's a lot of poor countries that people send their charities to, but they will have, you know, equally poor peer, you know, cousins at home. Maybe, you know, when we say poor, they might be under a lot of debt, and people are asking them. We're not looking at them, we're just looking at other people. So, you know, we should be able to help our own relatives as well.
This is very important. Even Amir al-Sunnat, Mawlana Ali Al-Qadri Sahib, when he mentions regarding giving to Dawat-e-Islami, he also definitely says at the start that first of all, look at your close relatives. See if there's anyone that's worthy of take the zakat or the charity. Give to them first and then give a share to Dawat-e-Islami. So, Silai Rahmi, this is one of the first and foremost things to look out for our family members, our relatives. Like you mentioned, the being in debt, some people like, oh, choro, unka apna masla. You know, they got themselves in debt. No, you should be there helping them. So that's one thing. And then the second part of the verse was that from the sustenance we have bestowed upon them. This is something that we should reflect upon.
Yeah, that's
it's
very important.
The sustenance which we have bestowed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that risk. So if Allah has given it and he's ordering us to spend in his path, there should be no problem with it. We should be giving full alms giving, you know, without thought that, you know, oh, I'm going to be getting less or it's going to reduce my mal. It's going to reduce my wealth. No, give it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wealth in the cause of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely give you more. And this is proven. There's a very amazing story of Habib Ajmi, rahmatullah alayhi. And this time he was at his home with his wife, and they were going to prepare the food. So the wife cooked the dough. She kneaded the dough and put it there to prepare the bread or whatever they were going to prepare. And someone came knocking on the door, and Sayyidina Habib Ajmi rahmatullah alayhi, he came and he gave that bread or that dough as a charity. So the wife, she came back into the room and she asked, you know, where's the dough gone? It was here, I've just need it. And after a lot of you know, times of asking again, Sayyidina Habib Ajmi said that, look, I gave that dough to a beggar. He came to the door. I couldn't refuse him. So I gave him that dough as sadaqah.
Allahu Akbar.
So the wife said, you know, look, what we're going to do, that's a good thing that you're giving it as sadaqah, but we also need to eat as well. As soon as she was saying that, another knock on the door occurred. And someone came with a full tray of food, not just with bread, but also with curry as well.
MashaAllah.
So subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely gives back, and it gives back in more. So that is something that we need to make our mindset, that whenever we're paying or giving zakat, don't think of it as a burden, don't think of it as, oh look, I'm going to decrease in my wealth. It's going to, inshallah, increase your wealth.
You know, people sometimes, you know what they do is, like in Pakistan, that's what I heard was, in banks here, they were saying put 5 lakh rupees in, and after 5 years, we'll give you 10 lakh rupees back, because they're going to invest that money. And you know, even people who did not have that much money, they would get money from other relatives and they'll put that because it's going to be double.
Yeah.
You know, here Allah Ta'ala doesn't talk about double. You know, in one narration, he mentions 10 times more. So Alhamdulillah, Azzawajal, once you give in the path of Allah, Azzawajal, but don't give it in a sense that, you know, I'm doing you a favor by giving you this money. There's a very beautiful story that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned regarding Bani Israel, three people. I'm going to mention it very short. One of them was a person that had vitiligo. You know, he had just come chambak, I think. He had white spots on his hand. So an angel came to him, and the angel said to him that, what is it that you want, you know, from Allah, if you had a wish? And he says, you know, I wish, you know, my body was beautiful. So the angel, you know, he put his hand over his body, and his body became beautiful. His skin was so beautiful. And he goes, what wealth would you like? And he says that I would like a camel. Yeah, so the angel made dua for him, and he had loads of camels. And then the angel left him. And then he went to another person, and this person was a bald-headed person. And he goes, what is it that you want? And he goes, I wish I had beautiful hair on my head. So the angel put his hand over his head, and his beautiful hair came up. And he goes, what maal do you want? And he goes, what wealth do you want? He goes, I wish I had some cows. So the angel made dua for him. He had loads of cows, so he left him. Then he went to another person who was blind. And he goes, is there anything that you want? He goes, I wish I had eyes that I could see. And he goes, okay. So he put his hand over his eyes and he started to see again. And then he says, what wealth do you want? He goes, I like goats. So he made dua and he had loads of goats and he left him as well. And then now Allah Ta'ala is going to test them as well. So an angel came in the form of a poor person. He went to that guy, you know, with the beautiful skin. He goes, I'm a poor person. Please, can you help me? And he says that, look, all this wealth, yeah, it's mine. I earned this wealth, I really worked really hard for it, so I'm not going to give you anything, go away from here. And the angel, he says that, you know, he came into his real form, you know, and he says that, look at me carefully, I am an angel. You were, you know, your skin was really bad. Allah gave you a beautiful skin, he gave you all this wealth, and now you're not giving it in the way of Allah. So the angel made dua for him, and everything was taken away from him. His skin came back to where it was. Then he went to the bald person, again he asked him the same question, again he denied it as well. When he went to the blind person, you know, he's the angel, he says, I'm a poor person, please give me something. He says, look, Allah Ta'ala has given me everything. Whatever you need, take it from me.
Allah.
You know, and then the angel made dua for him that Allah give you more blessing. Sometimes what happens is maybe Allah Ta'ala is testing us. You know, sometimes maybe your own relative will come to your door and he will tell Allah Ta'ala to test, yeah, how is he going to deal with that person? Sometimes we say, oh, jao, asa mentan kitiyan. You know, we worked really hard for this. You know, you're taking our wealth away. But halanki the verse that you've read, it is Allah that who gives you this wealth, and it is Allah who will test you as well. Alladhi khalaqal mawta wal hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala. Allah will test us, you know, who does the good and the bad actions. And again, if you give in the path of Allah, Allah will give you many fold, you know, many times.
And this is one thing that we need to make ourselves understand, is to have that trust in the words of Allah, the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not speak from his own desires. It comes from the wahi of Allah.
Subhanallah.
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words are 100% true and comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ says on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, that sadaqah, meaning charity, it does not decrease wealth. And Allah increases the status of the one who forgives others, who adopts humility for the pleasure of Allah, is granted elevation by Allah.
SubhanAllah.
So the main point here of in regards to today's topic was that sadaqah does not decrease wealth. The Prophet ﷺ has mentioned it. Sadaqah does not decrease wealth. So we need to understand and have that trust in Allah. that if I'm paying my zakat, if I'm paying some sadaqah or some donation in the cause of Allah, and remember the need should be there, the intention is very important. Innama a'malu bin niyat. Everything, the Prophet said that the actions depend upon the intention. So if you make a good intention that I'm paying sadaqah for the sake of Allah, not for, you know, show off, or not
so
for,
that my name's going to be mentioned in the masjid.
That's another topic, yeah. So we can discuss that as well. But if you have that intention, that will then be a more a sincere intention, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you an increasing reply to that.
There's a verse in the Quran, you know, regarding what I was mentioning about test. وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْدٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ. And it is He who has made you successors in the earth and ranked some of you high above others in order that He may test you with what He has bestowed upon you. In a Suratul An'am, verse number 165. So Allah Ta'ala has made some people rich, some people poor. So the rich people can help the poor, and the poor can work for the rich, and they can, you know, in return pay money. Now in some places you see that, you know, even those people who work for someone, these people, they think that, you know, they own their lives, you know, and in some cases, you know, they're like slaves, halanke they're working for them. And, you know, I totally hate this kind of a culture where, you know, even the name servant, you know, it doesn't ring bells, you know, in my heart. You know, he's an employee, he works for you, he's got his rights. But sometimes you see, sadly, that people trust them, treat them like, you know, slaves, and they don't have no rights, whatever happens. And these people, you know, there was an instant where one of my friends, yeah, and he fell out with one of his employees. He goes, oh, I don't need him. I'll get some more employees. I goes, look, if each one of them, he had a few. I goes, if each one of them you fall out with, who's going to work for you? Yeah, no one's going to work for you. All your mighty empire, because that's what you think, is only a little business. But your mighty empire is going to collapse because you can't work for, you know, all your alone. So in the same way, we need to look at these people that are working for us as well. And especially when you give in the path of Allah, never ever think that you are doing them a favor, but rather they are doing you a favor, because who are you going to give? Exactly. You know, so Alhamdulillah, Azulil is very important. And Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Na'imi Rahmatullah Alayh, he comments on this verse and he says that he makes you undergo tests and trials and observes how grateful you are after gaining a high status, blessings and wealth, and how you treat one another. You know, yesterday you were nothing. And I always say this, go 50, 60 years down the line and you'll know what you were. Mm. You know, our parents came from especially I'm talking about my parents. They came from a very poor background. They didn't have enough food to eat. They had not enough clothes. And they were farmers. They kept on working. And now look at us 50 years later. Allah Ta'ala has given us respect. He's given us a maqam. He's given us wealth. You know, and if I start to think, no, it's mine, I did all this, yeah, I worked hard for this. Yeah, you worked hard for it, but someone gave you the power to work hard for it, isn't it?
You have to be, thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The story that you mentioned about them three people, the one that had the skin issue, the one that was bald, the one that was blind. You know, the first two, they didn't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah himself, he says in Holy Quran, la in shakartum la azidannakum. If you thank me, then I will increase for you. Okay, so just a paraphrasing of the translation. So if we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely increase our wealth, increase our land, increase our riches, whatever He wants, He can increase. So we need to be thankful. How can you be thankful? Tafsir Siratul Jinan, Mufti Qasim Sahib, he mentions that there are many types of thankfulness. There's thanking from the tongue.
Yeah.
I thank you, Ya Allah. Okay, so that's one type. Another type is thanking with your bodily parts, meaning that if you are you want to thank Allah, then you do good actions. So that is something which is very important, which people don't think about as being thankful. That if you thank someone, people think you have to just say it from the tongue. Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be through doing His commandments, praying sajdai shukr, as well as that giving sadaqah. This is also a commandment of Allah. If you do it with a good intention, that Ya Allah, I'm thanking you for what you have given, and now I'm giving in your path, that will also be a type of shukr, a type of thankfulness. So we need to increase in this, and inshallah Allah will increase
inshallah
our
as well. We'll have many hadith and many verses of the Quran later on regarding this very important topic of charity. And as they say, if you give charity in the morning, then diseases and calamities do not approach that person. So if you still have not made a sadaqah, and inshallah I make the intention that I will give sadaqah, because I've made that intention, inshallah I'm going to get start to reward now. Physically, when I give that money, inshallah you'll get the reward for that as well. So inshallah, so we're going to talk about this. Every day we also have a daily reminder as well. And these daily reminders are for us to remind ourselves the duties that we have upon ourselves from Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's listen to a daily reminder today, and inshallah we'll talk about this very important topic as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It has been narrated that some of the close companions of Uthman Ghani رضي الله تعالى عنه took his body to Jannatul Baqi at night, taking advantage of the darkness after his martyrdom. They were digging the grave when suddenly a large number of riders entered Jannatul Baqi, the graveyard. The devotees got frightened. The riders said loudly, "Do not fear, we are here to take part in his burial." Hearing this, people's fear abated and Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an was buried in peace. After returning from the graveyard, the Sahaba-i-Kiram alayhim Ridwan swore to the people that the riders were in fact angels. Subhanallah. What is the maqam and status of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an, that angels participated in the burial of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala elevate his darajat and forgive us for his sake. Ameen, bijah al-Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, Azawajal, you listen to a very beautiful reminder. And these reminders, inshallah, will be given to us. The Quran, it also gives us reminders. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is full of reminders. And to be honest with you, our own life is full of reminders as well. Reminders that there is a creator. And then Allah ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran as well that this life, you know, one day it will end and we will go back to Allah Azza wa Jalla. There are so many reminders. And also Allah Ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You know, and we need to remind one another as well. You know, remind about our duties towards Allah Azza wa Jalla. Remind one another, you know, when it's salah time, when it's time to give charity. And then also, because أَمْرٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفُ وَنَهْيٌ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ are two very important traits of a Muslim. And alhamdulillah, this is why we are the best of the ummah. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. We are the best of the ummahs. Why? Because we invite towards good and we forbid evil. That is what you call reminding one another. And inshallah, today a very important topic. Again, what's the intention? The intention is that we remind each other. Sometimes what happens, you know, when you're too busy in the world, you tend to forget, you know, why we were created. But alhamdulillah, when we remind one another, remember, it will be Muslims that will remind you of Allah. It will be Muslims that will remind you of your duty. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal. Gee, we're talking about giving charity, giving sadaqah. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, Suratul Hadid, verse number 10. وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلِلَّهِ مِرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And what it is to you that you spend not in the way of Allah, whereas to Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth all together. Yani Allah Ta'ala, he mentions, and Mufti Sahib, he writes in the regard of this, and he says, you will die and wealth will remain in his possession, and you will not get the reward of not spending. And if you spend in the path of Allah, you will get the reward. So Allah Ta'ala, when he says that, give in my path, if we don't, We're not going to take that money with us. If you go pious family left leaving behind, then they will spend that money in the way of Allah. They will spend it on your isal sawab. They will give you to poor people. Or else what's going to happen if you leave children or family behind that, you know, that were away from the deen? They're going to spend it on, you know, holidays and new cars and new house. And, you know, what are they going to give for you? Nothing. And then, Abibai, what type of charity should you give? You know, what? That's another question. What should we give in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Sometimes, we don't need something. Chalo, let's give it in the way of Allah. Mm. Okay, we will be rewarded for that. But Allah Ta'ala says, different. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You shall never attain virtue until you spend in Allah's cause the things that you love. And Allah Azza wa Jal is aware of whatever you spend.
Amazing.
So it's not that you spend whatever you want to spend. You know, try to spend what you love.
What you love.
You know, I can remember an incident where a Buzurg Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, you know, someone came to him and he says, come back tomorrow. And he gave, I think it was a shakar or something, he gave that in the way of Allah. I think it was Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, something that he really liked. And he told that person to come back later. And when he came back later, he gave him that. And he goes, Hazrat, why did you not give me that? He goes, I could have given you something else. But because I like this thing the most, so I wanted to give you this. You know, so Alhamdulillah, that is why he's called Umre Thani, isn't he?
Yes.
You know, he's called the second Umar. And so, you know, when I read that beautiful book here about the Seerat of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, in just 2.5 years, at the age of 39 when he passed away, Islam, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, was, you know, it excelled in his 2.5 years. You know, again,
yeah.
Why? Because these people, Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, says about his seerat, that before, when he became the Khalifa, he was a rich person, he had a lot of wealth. And the night that he became the Khalifa, he spent in crying in the court of Allah. And before the day breaks, he gave a lot of his wealth in the path of Allah. He put it in Baitul Mal.
Islam flourished on not the sword, but rather on piety and spirituality. That is very important. You know, you were mentioning giving that thing that you love the most.
Gee.
An example of this is a common problem that is happening is two things. Number one, when we cleaning out our house, just say, getting a clear out, you know, spring cleaning. Oh, there's so many things that we don't need. Give it to the charity shop.
Yeah.
See, that's also good as well. We're not discouraging that. Definitely go for that. But also, we need to give that what we love. Another good example is, which happens, masjid mein Jumma ke time, need to give money. Okay, we've got a note out. There's one note that's a little bit
scruffy,
a little bit crushed up. And there's one, you know, crisp, clean note. So we're like, which one shall I give?
Okay, you're going to spend that as well.
Exactly.
You know, but we try to give that.
They're both worth the same amount of money. But still, we love that, which is more crisp. We keep that in our pocket. They get this crunchy one out and put that into the box. So this is our mentality. That's something we need to change. So like this, there's many examples that will probably occur throughout people's lives. So give that what you love, inshallah, and that will be more.
You know, there's a very beautiful hadith in Sahih Bukhari. Hazrat Asma binti Abi Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her that, oh Asma, do not withhold, otherwise it will be withheld from you as well. Do not withhold. Now that could be, you know, the spending in the path of Allah. Don't withhold that money. Don't withhold them sadaqas, because if you don't give anything, then on the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala can't withhold that from you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we all think about ourselves that all this wealth is from Allah. We all believe that. But then again, you know, why are we not giving in the way of Allah? We'll be able to give that money where our name speaks. Well, we know that announcement is going to be made. I went to a masjid, I used to do Jummah in that masjid. And every time, you know, 10 minutes before the Jama'at, you know, we used to say, do you want to read? I goes, look, I don't want to read it, you read it. Well, obviously, I was an outsider because I can't just go and change everything. You know, so I said, you read it. So Haji sahab ne 5 pound diye, falan sahab ne 5 pound diye, falan behan ne 2 pound diye. I thought, kya maksad kya? You're spending 10 minutes.
Especially at that time when the whole masjid is full.
Yeah.
And the prime time when you can tell them, you know, the public, something,
yeah,
you know, that they can take back. at that time we're giving announcements on, you know, useless things and maybe even sinful things for some people.
And then I told him after the Jummah, I goes, look, is there anything that we can do that we can try not to do this Alana? I'll just say, mashallah, many people have given in the masjid for the madrasa. We'll make dua for all of them. Do you have to mention particular? He goes, yes, or else no one will give you money. You know, so that's the perception that these people have, that no one is going to give money. And I've been through that, Abhi. I was in the masjid and this person, I think was £5, I think he gave to Imam Sahib, and Imam Sahib forgot to do the elan. He was standing for him near the door. My point is, where's my elan? You didn't do my elan. And Imam Sahib, you know, he was a bit, you know, angry as well. And Imam Sahib goes, here, take 10 of me and go home. You know, he goes, you gave that fiver. Okay, I forgot. You got your reward. You gave in the way of Allah. The other thing that I is cringing is, you know, as soon as Imam Sahib gives salam for the farz namaz, they won't give before that because there's not many people now. In farz namaz, you know everyone's there now. So what happened? They'll jump from the fifth saf, they'll come forward and they'll give a fiver. Imam Sahib, make dua, I'm going on Umrah tomorrow. You know, why did you have to come all the way? Now's the time because everyone's looking at you. Allah Ta'ala knows what the intention are. But then again, these things, how can you hide them? How can you have husne zan like that?
So these things we need to, you know, really get rid of. And the only way that we can get rid of this is changing the mentality of people. And, you know, reminding people of these things. Like, people need to start learning, you know, riyakari, ostentation. Yeah. What is that? You know, for the sake of Allah, what are you doing? And for the sake of other people, what are you doing? We need to judge our own actions and do muhasabah. That what am I doing that is wrong? What are my intentions correct? Am I a sincere Muslim or am I someone that's just a Muslim by name or just shows off?
Yeah.
So we need to really make that judgment ourselves and know that what is the path that we need to choose.
You know, the scholars, they say on the day of judgment, a person who, you know, gave for in riyakari, in ostentation, he will be called by the name of Riyakar. Oh, Riyakar, stand up. And he says that Allah Ta'ala will say to that person, I've got nothing for you. Go and get your reward from the people who you gave it for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, if we give our money, now this, the scholars, they mention, even if you give £1 million to the masjid, that's a huge amount of money. But the intention is wrong, you're going to get nothing. You know, as they say, you're going to get peanuts.
Yeah.
Because the intention isn't right. But if you give £1 in the way of Allah and the intention is that, Ya Allah, this is what I got. You know, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, very famous waqa, we've heard it many, many times. He gave less than Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but because he gave everything what he had, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, the scholars, they say that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, even though he gave less, but he gave everything in the way of Allah.
You know,
so it's more superior because he gave everything. So there's a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This money that we give in the path of Allah, it's like you're doing a business with Allah. It says in Shu'bul Iman, Allah has said, so hadith Qudsi, O son of Adam, deposit something to me out of your treasure. It will neither burn, sink, nor be stolen. I will give you a full return at the time when you will be very needy of it. When will we needy of it? Maybe, you know, this is only not about the akhirat. In the dunya, if you go through a time, difficult time, Allah Ta'ala will give you that money. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْسُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. You know, Allah Ta'ala will give you that money from a source where you never ever thought of. You know, subhanAllah, I've seen Amir al-Sunnah with my own eyes. And many people are like this, mashallah, that we heard many stories as well. You know, once someone came and gave some money to Amir, he goes, I insist, please you take it. And Amir al-Sunnah goes, I accept it. Madani Kafla Majlis, there you go. So he gave that money, he came from here, straight. He goes, look, I don't need nothing. You know, give it in the way of Allah, give it to
Dawud. This is one of the actions of the Prophet ﷺ. He would never, you know, whenever he received some wealth, he would go and give it as sadaqah.
Subhanallah.
So that's one of the, you can say, the good actions of the, every action of the Prophet ﷺ is amazing. But one of the actions of the Prophet ﷺ. Something that we need to understand is, when we give in charity, give in such a way that we hide our good deeds.
Yeah.
That the right hand gives, and the left hand doesn't even know.
MashaAllah.
Okay, so hiding the nekiyah, hiding the pious deeds that we do, that is something that we need to adopt in our culture. We hide our bad deeds just as we hide our bad deeds, that's how we should hide our good deeds as well.
You know, again, you know, there was a time when Sayyidina Umar al-Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu hired a person from his own money so that he can tell him if he does anything wrong. You know, nowadays, if someone does tell us, you know, when you gave that pound, you know, just give it, forget about it. We start to shout at that person, you know, who the hell are you, Janab? I gave money for this. I gave money for that. I gave that. I give. So, you know, a lot of me, and I, a lot of them are there. There's another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Majma'u Zawaid. Indeed, the sadaqah of a Muslim increases his life and rids him of a bad death. And Allah Azza wa Jal, through His blessing, removes arrogance and boasting, a bad habit of talking proudly about your own abilities and feeling pride. So Allah Ta'ala will remove these, you know, from you if you give it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal with the correct intention. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we see, you know, the pious people. A very famous incident about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was at the time of Salatul Fajr, and he did something that he never used to. He did. So what he did, after Salah, he immediately walked away from the masjid and went into his house. And the Sahaba Ikram said, we never ever saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever did that. So we asked him, Ya Rasulallah, is everything okay? Why did you leave the Salah quickly today? You never stayed behind. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I remembered I had something in my house. I wanted to give that in the way of Allah. You know, and if you look at, do sadaqah, only rich people give sadaqah? Poor people give sadaqah as well. And I can remember, you know, in the last year's telethon, we had an Imam Sahab from Punjab, very poor. He had 5,000 rupees. What's 5,000 rupees? He saved up for his daughter's wedding. And when he heard about the telethon, he gave all that 5,000 in the way of Allah. And subhanAllah. And this is what it's about. Allah Ta'ala is testing us. It's not that Allah Ta'ala, ma'azallah, needs our money. He doesn't need our money. But we need the mercy of Allah. We need them good deeds. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, we have a daily hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every single day. Let's see what daily hadith we have today. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
When our believing relatives, it could be parents, our siblings, extended family members, whenever they pass away, it's not the case that we attend their janazah, the funeral, we bury them, and that's it, we forget about them. No, our beautiful religion of Islam, alhamdulillah, has taught us that when our deceased pass on in a state of iman, we must continuously try and benefit them. They can't come back to the world now. They can't perform amal themselves. But what can be done is we perform good deeds and convey rewards to them. And this concept, a very simple concept, is proven from hadith that it's known as Isalu Thawab, conveying reward, sending reward. And in one hadith, which is found in Sahih Muslim, Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha states that a man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فقال, and he said, Ya Rasulallah, Inna ummi uff. Tulitat nafsuha. My mother has passed away. Walam tusi. And she left no wasiya, no will. Wa azunnuha law takallamat tasaddaqat. And now he says, the son says, I believe that if she could speak at that time of her passing away, she would have given sadaqah, or asked for sadaqah to be given. Afalaha ajrun in tasaddaqtu anha. Now the question is, he's asking a question to the Prophet ﷺ, if I give sadaqah on her behalf, will she gain reward? And the Prophet ﷺ said, na'am, yes. Now Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, who commentates on this hadith, he states, في هذا الحديث أن الصدقة عن الميت تنفع الميت. We learn in this hadith that giving sadaqah on behalf of the deceased benefits the mayyit, benefits the person who has passed away. وَيَصِلُ ثَوَابُهَا. And the thawab of that sadaqah reaches them as well. وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ بِإِجْمَاعِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says, this concept is proven through the consensus, the ijma', the unanimous consensus of the ulama of Islam. So we should always give sadaqah and do other righteous deeds and send the rewards to our deceased relatives who have passed away in a state of iman. We shouldn't be hesitant in this regard. One day we're going to pass away. When we're in our grave, that dark grave, all alone, we would want people to send rewards to us as well. And if we do so today with our relatives, inshallah, people will do that with us tomorrow as well. May Allah Ta'ala enable us to remember our deceased relatives, our Muslim relatives who are passed on, and grant us tawfiq to benefit them.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And we are discussing about a very, very important topic, which is charity. Habibai, there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it says, certainly sadaqah protects the giver of sadaqah from the heat of the grave, and certainly a Muslim will be under the shade of his sadaqah on the day of resurrection. So if you made that sadaqah, you're going to be under the shade of the of your sadaqah on the day of judgment. Yeah. You know, and that day, we hear from the scholars that one day will be equivalent to 50,000 years. Yeah, and the sun will be just a quarter, 1.25 miles away from your head. The earth will be made out of copper. People will be sweating according to their sins. And mashallah, as well, at that day, even through all this difficulty, there will be people, if I can say, they'll be chilling. Why? Because they will be under the shade of the mercy of Allah, and especially the sadaqah that they have done. Another hadith pak in Majma'ul Zawaid, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, one who gives a sadaqah for the pleasure of Allah, that sadaqah becomes a shield for him against the fire of hell.
Another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, sadaqah wipes out misdeeds as water extinguishes fire.
MashaAllah. So
the sins of people will be wiped out just as water extinguishes fire. And like this, many other hadith in Shu'ub al-Iman, the Prophet ﷺ says, no doubt sadaqah protects the giver of it from the heat of the, as you mentioned, the heat of the grave, and certainly a Muslim will be under the shadow of his sadaqah on the day of judgment. And as well as that, in Mu'jam al-Kabir, the Prophet ﷺ says that sadaqah closes 70 doors of evil.
MashaAllah.
So giving in the way of Allah is a way to protect yourself from sins as well. We're always complaining about this, that in the community there's, you know, so many bad things that are happening in our homes, there's issues going on, we can't get rid of the sins that we're habitual of. So inshallah, giving sadaqah with a good intention will hopefully get rid of these things as well.
MashaAllah. And no doubt, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, there's a lot that we can talk about sadaqah, because sadaqah has been mentioned many times in the Quran, and many, many chapters in the books of hadith have been mentioned regarding sadaqah itself. Now the thing is, when we give sadaqah, and Habibi mentioned as well about giving sadaqah with the right hand so that your left hand doesn't know. But if we have the correct intention that, you know, if I give sadaqah and people know about that, they will also give. You know, the scholars, they've said that, you know, that is a good way of giving sadaqah. Very famous about Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on an expedition, and he said, who's going to give in the way of Allah? And Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to stand up all the time. And at the end, he gave 900 camels. Amazing. Loaded. And he would, you know, and he says that he would always stand up. So he could have done sadaqah, you know, quietly. But why he did stand up, the scholars, they say, so that other people can be encouraged as well.
So that was a good intention.
Gee.
That was a good intention. The intention that, the thing that we discourage is when people have a bad intention. You know, mera naam ho. You know, this love of ana, this love of myself, or love of being famous, or having, desiring to be well known. This is something which is discouraging Sharia. And the intention should be that I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. And if people are listening to me and are encouraged, then inshallah, they will also attain the thawab and the reward as well for paying sadaqah.
MashaAllah.
That is the intention.
No, that's brilliant, alhamdulillah. And then if you look at it, yeah, if a person gives in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, there is no way that he is going to be let down, because as we mentioned before, when you give in the way of Allah, Allah will give you manifold. That could be in the dunya as well. You know, there's a very famous waqia about a person from Bani Israel. Allah Ta'ala sent a revelation to Musa alayhi salam that, oh Musa, so and so person, I've divided his life into two. First part or second part, half of his life will be in richness, half will be poor.
Now go and ask him what he prefers first. So Musa alayhi salam went to him and said that Allah Ta'ala has sent this message that your life has been, you know, in half. So half of your life you'll be rich and half you'll be poor. It's up to you what you choose first. So he goes, if I can have some time to ask my family and friends. So he went and he asked his family and friends, and they all said, you know what? Because you're young and energetic and you're strong, be poor in the first part. So at least, well, you know, is whatever way you'll get around this time. But when you are weak and old, you'll be rich anyway, so you don't need to work. So he goes to Musa alayhi salam and he goes, I've been given this year, but I want to be rich in my first part. So Musa alayhi salam made dua, and Allah Ta'ala gave him a lot of wealth, animals and all that. So well, he had loads of animals. You know, every day poor people would come to him and they would say, please give us something. You know, Allah has given you so much. You could say, look, Allah has given me everything. Whatever you need, just take it. You know, so people would take whatever they want. Next day, someone else will come, take whatever you want. So he never said no to them. Now, what happened? Musa alayhi salam passed by that person and he was still wealthy in his second part of his life. So Musa alayhi salam was shocked and he goes, Ya Allah, why is he still wealthy? You know, you said that the, you know, his first part he was rich, now he's going to be poor. So Allah Ta'ala said, oh Musa, how can I not accept the du'as of these poor people who made on behalf of him? That he, you know, they used to say, Allah give you more, Allah never show you poor, you know, make you poor. So why should I not accept that du'as, and I've made him rich all his life? You know, if you really want to be rich, yeah, and it's, richness is from the heart, not from the money. You've seen loads of people. There was a time when we bought a building, yeah, and somebody, oh, go to him, he's very rich, he'll give you something. So you go and say, we bought a building. Oh, mashallah, hello, that's pawned. And he goes, wow, what are we going to do with 10,000? We need security to carry that. But when you go to a, we went to a normal taxi driver, yeah? Now, we went to a normal taxi driver. The guy gave us £1,000 there. He goes, take this if you need any more. Give me a bit of a time and inshallah, we can, I'll show you.
You know,
some more.
If you look at it, a bigger picture out of the box, you know, we've got nothing. You know, Allah has brought this to world, brought us in this world. We have nothing when we are born. We don't even have clothes on our body. Okay, we have to be clothed. We have to be fed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives us our wealth. And he just says, look, from that wealth, give a little bit in the way of Allah. And I will increase what you have. So like if I, you know, if without tashbih, if there was someone that gave you a plate and it had 10 biscuits in there. Mm-hmm. And from that biscuit, you said, just give half a biscuit and I'll give you 10 more. How much increase is that? You know, you're just only giving a little bit, but Allah is increasing again and again. And then on top of that, I'll say, if you keep on increasing, I'll make sure that you have no problem. I'll make sure that, you know, all your health care and everything is covered. That's even better. So if, without giving tashbih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to give in the path of Allah, but not just giving, he increases that wealth for us. And then he also says that we'll protect you from calamities in the hereafter, will close the doors of evil upon you, as the Prophet said. Mm-hmm. And like this, many other things, benefits coming from that one action. So, and if another thing which is important is like this hadith of the Prophet, it's mentioned in Mishkat al-Masabih, that good manners are a blessing and bad manners are a curse. And sadaqah protects from bad death and good deeds increases lifespan. So even giving sadaqah will protect someone from a bad death, a bad end meaning end with out iman.
Charity does not only mean sadaqah, you know, lillah. Zakat is also a form of charity, isn't it? Yeah. People sometimes think that zakat is not a charity, it's farz, you know, you got to give that. Alangi tika is farz, but it's still a charity, isn't it?
Definitely, and a charity, which if we look at, it's an obligation that we have to give. Religion of Islam is found upon, or the based upon five things, and from them five things is that you give zakat. And zakat is only a small sum, very small amount. You know, 2.5%. So I'll give you an example. Someone had £1,000, £25 you will have to give. You know, a very small sum that you have to give, but the rewards and the benefits and the blessings behind it and the wisdom behind it are immense. You know, if it's mentioned that if every Muslim gave sadaqah, there will be no poverty in the world.
Definitely.
So, the, you know, people are in politics, in you know, different governments, they're all screaming about relieving world poverty. The solution is right there.
If every Muslim gave his zakat, world poverty will be finished.
You know, another thing I've seen, you know, a lot of beggars, and someone sent me a picture yesterday about a child who was cycling, and he was crying. He was delivering for a company. Obviously, you know, he was cycling. It was really, really hot. But then again, you know, we tend to, especially in Pakistan, and there's beggars here as well. I don't know if you've seen them. You know, they're on the traffic lights, and oh, they're healthy, nothing wrong with them, but they'll be such a stood at the traffic lights. And people give money to them. It's a waste of money because majority of them are, illa mashallah, Allah knows best, yeah. But majority of them is a business. Yeah, they've got their different routes and different areas that they cover. It's like, you know, a person, oh, this is my area. And there was an undercover report regarding these beggars. And they found that one of the beggars had a massive koti in Gujarhan, 80 million, you know, rupees. Lakh rupees.
That's how they are. They're very rich. And, you know, they've just become habitual and it's become a job to beg. And because people, they probably have like made their arm look like
I've seen many of them
broken. And so people, you know, they find pity on them. That we feel sorry for them, they give money. And this is wrong. You know, people start giving zakat to these people. Yeah. That is very bad as well. Because zakat is only eligible or will be valid to certain individuals.
Yeah.
And that needs to be met.
And, you know, mashallah, you know, we do encourage people to give, you know, their sadaqah, their zakat to poor people as well. But what about, you know, scholars and madaris that are in need of that? You know, there are so many. I can remember there was a very famous scholar in Pakistan, in Lahore. And, you know, all his life he's been teaching the hadith. He was Sheikhul Hadith. But when he felt ill, you know, somewhere, you know, he had an eye operation. He did not have enough money to have an eye operation. So, alhamdulillah, I always think that we were lucky that Allah Ta'ala chose us. Our Imam Sahib in Dewsbury made an announcement on Jummah Namaz that, you know, so-and-so Imam Sahib, I found out about him. You know, we need money, you know, so we can send him that money. Someone contacted me. So alhamdulillah, we raised that money from a few people and mashallah, his operation was done. But there are so many, Safed Posh. Yeah, they won't ask you for money, but these people do need money.
Really
and
need,
I think Safed Posh is like your imam of the masjid, maybe not in this country, but even in this country as well, some imams, they don't get paid as much. You know, there's an imam, a very, very talented person. He gets paid 170, 150. And you think to yourself, you know, he's got such a routine. And then if you look at the balance of the masjid, you know, £500,000 or £1 million in the bank balance, and the Imam Sahib is getting paid next to nothing. And then when it comes to education, you know, you could give your sadaqah to education as well. Obviously, you know, another thing is, Habibai, when you give sadaqah, make sure that you give what the person needs, not what you want to give away. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can remember when the earthquake or the floods happened in Pakistan, you know, they showed this person, this family, and they had about 10 tents in their home. You know, they were given a tent, and in the tent, there were 10 tents. You know, so basically, whoever was coming, they were giving him tents. And one family, they were sure they were giving aunties. He goes, so the car comes here, there. You know, we're going to open a shop, you know, with so many aunties. Because everyone was giving him the same thing again and again.
Yeah.
And he says, Amir al-Sunnat mentions that if you do give anything, the best form of sadaqah is cash.
Cash, yeah.
Yeah, give them money.
The
cash you can transfer into their bank as well, yeah. But give them cash. It doesn't have to be a lot of money. You know, even £20 a month, Amir al-Sunnah says, give something to the Imam Sahib. Now, if there's four or five Islamic brothers and they think that Imam Sahib, you know, it's not going to get in what he really needs, yeah. £5 a month, if there's three, four brothers got together, that'll be £20-25 a month. That'll make a difference, you know. You might have a bill to pay. You might have some other things.
You just reminded me of one thing when you mentioned that. Giving cash and you can give it through bank deposit. So, you know, nowadays, in the past, it was so hard to give charity. You had to find someone and then give them that money. We can nowadays just give charity in 5 seconds while sitting at home.
Gee.
Closed doors, not even going out, sat on the sofa, got your phone out and just giving charity over the phone. And that's how easy it's become. And still, it's gold on the plate, but still, we're refusing it, we're not giving it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, a lot of people, especially in the UK, mashallah, and nearly everyone gets paid at a good level, you know, meaning the average, there's a system of average wages. You know, other countries, they don't have a wage system and the government doesn't give benefits or doesn't have a limit,
minimum wage
system. So be well off in the UK as well in that sense. So we should definitely give something in the cause, even if it's £2, £3, £4, whatever you can give. something should be given. And one of the ways that we can donate, I would encourage the viewers of Madrin Channel to donate to Dawat-e-Islami. Alhamdulillah, you know, Madrin Channel is here. We've got many departments of Dawat-e-Islami. FGRF, which is our Fezzan Global Relief Foundation. So we do relief work as well, you know, water pumps, giving food in countries, Africa countries, India, Pakistan, all these areas where there's poor people. Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami tries to go there and accommodates to what their needs are. Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami strives that they be there at the places where the Muslims need them the most. So inshallah, if you give your donations to Dawat-e-Islami, then we can make use of that donation, and it's very visible. Anything that you give donations to, it's all seen on Madrini Channel. You know, the masajid that are built, average of 2 masajid per day, the countless of madaris and jami'ad which are established throughout the world, you know, places where we can't reach. Nepal, okay, we've got jamia there, we've got jamia in Kenya.
You know, the other day, you know, in South Africa, alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami made a masjid. I don't know where, which area it was. It's hard to pronounce in South Africa. So they built a masjid there, alhamdulillah. And then what happened, that on the opening of the masjid, you know, everyone was invited, and that was the Muslims and the non-Muslims. One day, more than 200 non-Muslims accepted Islam. Now, can you imagine those people who gave the money for that masjid? You know, how much sadaqah jariya that will be for that person. You know, so another thing is that we've got this real promo that we need to show you. And then in final moments as well, we'll just talk about, you know, Dawat-e-Islami's Madani work. Obviously, we need money, a lot of money to help, you know, the works of Dawat-e-Islami. Let's watch this promo and then inshallah we'll come back to you. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Today we see no blessings in our sustenance, in our businesses, in our earnings. Do you know what is the reason? The reason is that we have become lazy in giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once we give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah azza wa jal, we will see barakah in our sustenance, in our businesses, in our families, in our household, in our rizq, inshallah azza wa jal. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not reduce your wealth. Let's give wholeheartedly in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's give charity. Let's make sadaqah. Give your zakat. Give your sadaqat. Give all your donations to your Madani Tahreek, Dawat-e-Islami, which is building masajid, madrasas, many Madani activities around the world. Give your donations to Dawat-e-Islami.
Dawat-e-Islami UK Madani Channel, source code 309773, account number 4363456 0, IBAN GB67LOYD 309773436 3450, BIC LOYD GB21087. Your donation can be used for any permissible religious, reformatory, welfare, well-wishing, spiritual and good purpose.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. You know, we're talking about charity and we talked about Dawat-e-Islami. You know, some of the works that Dawat-e-Islami is doing, like, mashallah, we had South Africa, 200 people accepting Islam. You know, some of the works of Dawat-e-Islami, now because we've got Madani Channel, a lot of the things that you see on screen as well. Whereas before, we never knew that, you know, how Dawat-e-Islami came into the limelight was when the 2005 earthquake happened in Kashmir. You know, Dawat-e-Islami was on the ground. You know, so many millions and billions of rupees was given, you know, for aid. And as well as that, our Fezzan-e-Madina in some of the towns, I think it was in Muzaffarabad, it was turned into like a relief center where a lot of aid was given to the people. But then, most importantly, those people who are buried in the rubble and who sadly passed away, you know, taking their bodies out of there, giving them ghusl and then preparing them for the janazah, offering their janazah, isal-e-sawab. This is what Dawat-e-Islami did. And at that time, that was when the government of Pakistan realized that Dawat-e-Islami is doing something. So then at that moment, Dawat-e-Islami came into the open that we had on Madani Channel. we had the eclipse that we came out. So Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, Dawat-e-Islami is a very, very, one of the biggest important thing is that Dawat-e-Islami is everywhere. You know, so we've got people on the ground, you know, especially, you know, where we don't have people, we won't take any chances. You know, some of the countries, you know, where the relief work is being done, we're not on the ground there, but, you know, it's, sometimes it's really difficult. I got a phone call the other day of this guy. He goes, I've got 5,000 rupees I wanted to send to a country, you know, for relief work. It's been there for 3 years. I don't know who to send it to. So at that time, they were promoting, okay, give us the money, give us the money. Now they've collected 5,000. They don't know what to do. So in especially in these kind of places where Dawat-e-Islami is on the ground, Alhamdulillah, we can help these people.
The benefit of Dawat-e-Islami is number one, it's an open book. Whatever they do, you can see. Okay, anytime that you want to know about any projects, anytime you want to see where your money has been spent, you can go and see it. It's an open book. Secondly, there's guidance, Shari guidance on nearly everything that we do. So anything that you're going to give money towards, first of all, the money that you give, that will be under the guidance of Sharia. And there's a full system made. The finance department of Dawat-e-Islami deals with that. Each single individual penny, there is accountability for that. And secondly, the way where it's going to be spent, the departments or whatever is going to be spent on the project, they will be under the guidance of Muftis and Sharia as well. So both ways you're going to be safe in terms of the Sharia, and you'll definitely know that my zakat or sadaqah that I'm giving is being given to those people who are eligible to take that sadaqah or that zakat. That's the second thing. And thirdly, the immense network of Dawat-e-Islami, as you mentioned, is very vast. You know, the centers that we have, the masajid that we have all over the world, Alhamdulillah, that network and the way that we've got our procedures is the way that you can be sure that whatever money you are giving, inshallah, it will definitely reach that area or that place that you
want. MashaAllah. JazakAllah khairah for watching our program. We've got to move on for the next program. Please take care of yourself. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will